Everybody, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and we are so glad to be on the air today. It's great. We enjoy it. We love it, and we're looking forward to a great time with you. Some of you will be listening live, and some of you will be catching this show later on our website, and we're just glad you've joined us, whichever way it is. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, a little hoarse here today, but with my good buddies Alice and Nan. Now, is this deja vu, Nan? Because it seems to me like last week, we were all three sitting here, the same three people.
It's deja vu. No, no, we were all three here together.
We had a
good time last week, and I know we're going to have an anointed good time again this week.
We certainly are. We had a couple, Carol and Nathan were supposed to be on today. Both of them could not. Alice, do you enjoy being on the radio show? Is it fun for you to be here?
I enjoy it very much.
Do you?
I do.
Why? Why do you enjoy it? What makes you want to be here?
It's fun. I always think it's fun to sit down and have a conversation with you and Nan anyway.
Right.
So,
because you never know what's coming, right?
We never know what's coming.
Right.
But I think it's a great opportunity for us just to, share God with people.
Absolutely.
All that kind of stuff.
And what he's doing in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't it great to talk about what he's doing?
Yes.
Because he is. I mean, we're living in difficult times in this day and age, you know, with the what now they're calling the Great Recession. Seriously, this week I had to take a course, a real estate course, for re-upping my license. Mm-hmm. And all through the book, it referred to the Great Recession.
Really?
Yeah, all the way through, that's what we've been living in, and that's what we're coming out of, is the Great Recession. I never heard that term, because I always heard the Great Depression, and never heard the Great Recession, but it's like all through the real estate book, which is kind of interesting. So we have been through some hard times lately, haven't we, Nan? People have in all walks of life, I believe.
Yes, I believe so. You can just tell it. People are getting stressed out over what else is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, normal things we get stressed out, but that God helps us with that. But in a lot of bigger ways, people are having big issues is happening in their lives.
Absolutely. Jobs are not the way they used to be. I mean, things have changed. And it's, as you, from an accounting prospect or aspect, Alice, you see this.
Yeah. It used to be that, if you had a degree, jobs were a dime a dozen.
Right.
Now it's the other way around. The candidates are a dime a dozen.
Yes. Yes. And so there's probably people in our listening audience today that are hurting in whatever way. And a lot of them may be financially. A lot of them may be just discouraged today and just defeated with what's going on in their personal life or their financial life or whatever, their family life. It just seems like there's attacks. Every way we turn, the devil's working overtime, Nan. I know you know that, but seriously, don't you believe that?
Yes, like there's the unsettledness.
Yes.
And it does. It knows no economic boundaries. It's happening just on people at all levels.
Exactly.
In all areas of their lives.
Right. They're affected, not just financially and job-wise, but they're affected in other areas of their lives. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's so many people now that are underemployed. I heard that term a lot this
underemployed,
week
when I was
listening to news and stuff like that. So many people underemployed, people with degrees, people with that in the past had been maybe making three figures and, earning some good money, are now having to do, blue-collar service you know, industry type
right.
positions, you know,
yeah.
waiting tables or, you know, going, running, you know, be working car washes and stuff like that to, just to make ends meet, just
exactly.
so that they can have some money, some income coming in.
Exactly. So these are difficult times. Yes. You know, we all agree on that. But we also agree that, and that's why we're having this show today, that God is over all of that, that these circumstances that people are going through, God is right there as we're going through them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I completely believe that God understands the hardship that everyone is going through.
Right.
That because he's, you know, he's walked this earth. He's been without.
Absolutely.
So he understands that.
He understands it.
Yeah.
We sang a song today in our praise and worship house. It's one of your favorites and always has been one of mine. God will make a way.
Yes.
Where there seems to be no way.
Right.
He works in ways we cannot see. God will make a way for me. You know, and then it goes on. Go ahead.
He will be my guide.
He will be my guide, yeah.
Hold me closely to his side.
Yeah.
With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way.
He will make a way. And I, as we were singing that this morning, it just, one more time, just like hit me right in the gut, you know. Yes, God will make a way no matter how difficult our circumstances are, no matter how frustrated we are with our job or our income or lack of, or this situation or that situation or a family issue or a relationship issue. God is right there to make a way where there seems to be no way. And it's almost really, Alice, like God loves to allow, I'm going to say allow, not put on, but allow circumstances to seem so difficult that it looks like there's no way out of the mess we're currently in.
Yeah, I think God likes to prove himself. And it's great opportunities, you know, for him to do so in this day and age, you know.
Right.
I think that, you know, people, so many people are thinking, you know, oh, you know, there's no way out of this. There's no way out
right.
of this. And God's saying, hey, hide and watch. You
yes.
know, and so
hide
he
and
can,
watch.
He can, you know, he can do a miracle. There's so
right.
many times, that, you know, we've said in church that there can't be a miracle without an impossibility.
Absolutely.
You know?
Say that again.
There can't be a miracle without an impossibility.
Because the very nature of the word miracle means that it's not possible in our human terms, right?
Right. Right. And so, you know, when we go through difficult times, whether it's relationship or financial or emotional or whatever, and there seems to be no way out,
right,
no way to dig yourself out, that's the time where God can move, and God will move.
And he will move.
Right.
Do you want to comment on that?
I know I was thinking of a personal thing. You know, we have been, Alice's too, but we've been praying for about my job.
Right.
Which I have an okay job, and I'm employed.
Right.
There's a lot of people that aren't employed.
Yeah.
You know, I am employed. But it sure is getting on my nerves, you know, the way stuff is happening. But, you know, as I have praise and worship music, I'm in an office which has a door open to a lot of people coming, but I can play my praise and worship music kind of low in there. And as I meditate on the Lord and pray before I go to work and pray while I'm at work, it seems like everything's more manageable.
Oh, amen.
Wait a minute.
Yes. It is more manageable when you're actually dependent on God.
Yes.
Which is the goal, really, Alice. I mean, God wants us so dependent on him that when trials come, we yell, Yahoo!
Mm-hmm.
I got a new problem.
Right. I think the thing is that we have to allow God to move in the situation.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be willing to give it over to him. God will often put us in that place where we have no place else
mm-hmm.
to turn but to him.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, if we would just turn to him first, we may not find ourselves that in that position where we have no choice.
Right.
You know, when we do have choices, if our first choice is to turn to God, you know, I think that it gives him an opportunity to move much quicker.
Yes. Yes. Mm-mm-mm. We're going to talk about all of that and in greater detail as we finish the book of 2 Timothy today. If you are just joining us for the first time on Living the Good Life, we're a ministry that's in our 11th year, almost ready to celebrate our 11th anniversary. Excited about that in October. And we're thanking God because he is a miracle working God. And we have seen so many miracles through the years, so many times when things were difficult in the ministry. And yet God always comes through and provides all that we need. And he's amazing. He's just wonderful. And we praise him today. cool. We're going to have a good show. This is going to be fun. You two are back today. You must not have been that bad of an experience if you're back today, right?
It wasn't.
Never a bad experience.
Never.
It's always fun, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here Am I, the first song by Mercy Me. Let's listen.
On the other side of the world, she stands on the ocean shore. Gazing at the heaven, she wonders, is there something more? Never been told the name of Jesus. She turns and walks away. What a shame. Oh yeah. Just across the street in your hometown, leaving from his 9 to 5, gazing down the road, he wonders, is this all there is to life? Never been told the name of Jesus. He continues on his way. What a shame. Oh yeah. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me to the ends of the earth? Who will rise up for their king? Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. For the answers that lie within your name, I wanna proclaim the love of Jesus in all I do and say.
God. You just heard a song based on Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 8. So let's start there today. Isaiah 6, 8. And this is the prophet Isaiah talking, because this is the conversation he had with God. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. That's the song you just heard. Here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Be ever hearing and never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull. And close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. What God is saying here is that this is the result of people not listening, people not hearing God, not having their ears open or their hearts open to God. Because if we do have our ears open and our hearts open, we can turn from the junk that has held us down and be healed. And God is saying, I need somebody to go for me, somebody to proclaim truth, somebody to declare that I am the God that heals people, that I am the God that sets people free. And Isaiah says, God says, who am I going to send? Who's going to go? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to share something from personal experience.
Oh, something. That's a good idea.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah.
Not Alice's experience, because she'll share her own, but I'll share mine. No, it was interesting. I've been watching some Christian programming more on TV than I have in the past. And, you know, the different ones ministering in third world countries and all that kind of stuff that's going on. And I was laying on my bed, and, you know, I have kind of, due to financial reasons, downsized with my housing situation. And I'm living in a smaller area, you know, living space and things like that. And I was laying there one night, and I started thinking about it. And I said, you know, we always joke, Connie would tease me about, you know, he's not going to send you to the way far away, you know, if you commit to doing what, you know, listening to him and leaning and doing what he wants you to do. And I was sitting there and I said, you know, I just honestly, I said, you know, Lord, I said, if you really wanted me to go do something like that, I would do it. You know, I would do it. Downsizing helped me in part of that, you know.
Right. Got rid of some of your stuff.
Got rid of some of my
only
stuff.
Only 5,000 pounds of stuff.
You weren't supposed to tell that part.
It was
that serious too, folks. But I just said, Lord, I would go. And I never would have thought I would have said that before. But something stirred within me. And I said, I would go.
Praise God. If
you wanted it, I'd have to know it was from you.
Right.
But I would be willing to go.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, God doesn't require those kind of things out of people.
Right.
He wants them to be committed to church. He wants them to be committed to reading the Bible, fasting, praying, witnessing, helping brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, those are things that he's called us to do. And, you know, the listening audience, hope that would encourage them. They move forward in those things.
Right.
He's not asking you to go to third world country. He's not asking you to go to Africa.
If he does, go.
But there's so much things we can do here.
Absolutely.
In our space, in our little space in the world. That is our space.
But it is so hard for the average person, Nan, to say, here am I, send me. Comment on that, Alice. That's a good point, Nan.
What you're exhibiting, Nan, is a willing heart.
Yes.
And that's what God wants.
Yes.
God wants you to be willing to do whatever it is he asks of you. But he may not ask something hard, like go be a missionary in Africa. He may ask you to, you know what, go talk to that person over there because they need somebody to talk to.
Amen.
It could be simple as that. It could be, you know, send an email out to so-and-so because they need a word of encouragement. It could be anything. You know, pray for somebody. You know, God can lay somebody on your heart.
He may ask you to put money in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He may, you know, it could just be a simple thing.
Right.
And if you have a willing heart and you're willing to say, yes, God, here I am, send me, use me, then he will use you and send you, but it may not be to Africa. It could be to the person next door.
Well, you know, as was exampled at lunch today when we all had lunch together between nursing home and radio show.
Full day.
The young lady, Kaylee, that serves us, wound up not being able to because of some circumstances. She was on the phone, and she shared with us. You know, she shared with us what was happening with her mother. Started crying. I mean, that was an opportunity that we were able to reach out to her with love. And the little button that says, I am love, that we gave her
weeks ago. Yeah.
She's wearing that around for everyone to see.
Yes.
So small little things you can do to reach out to people, do it.
And she just opened up and began to weep and talk about her family situation, how difficult it was. And that's what God expects of us, Alice, just to be there in the moment, you know, not try to plan it out. You know, the devotional I read this morning, and maybe I'll share it again, but God is saying, just be open and receptive to my voice on a daily basis all day long. And don't try to plan windows of opportunity to minister. God is the one who's going to open those windows and doors.
Yeah, it's amazing how God can orchestrate things so that you are like standing in the grocery line, you know, next to somebody, or, you know, as what happened to me, just happened to pull in the gas station and somebody was there that needed assistance, you know.
Just now.
No.
Oh, just another day.
Another day, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, those God orchestrates that. It's not up to us to plan that sort of thing.
Yes.
But we have to have that willing heart.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart, you know, we have to be at a point in our lives and our relationship with God where we can say, yes, God, whatever it is, send me, use
Amen.
Me. And he will. He'll use you in the way that's best for, you know, whatever the situation
right.
is. And, you know, like I keep trying to emphasize this. It may not, at least to you, seem like such a big thing,
right.
but it could be a really big thing in somebody else's life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's looking for obedience. He's looking for consistency. I think one of the, and we're going back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You all out there can find that in a minute. But one of the things I think that is, I admire so much about the life of Paul, who wrote the book of 2 Timothy, and this actually was the last book he wrote. It's that Paul took the time from the moment he was called in Acts chapter 8 on the road to Damascus, and God just picked him up and spun him around because he was killing Christians in the name of the Lord, you know, and feeling like he was doing the right thing. And God just brought him to his knees with that blinding light in Acts chapter 8. And from that moment on, Paul realized he had to be out there proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And it totally turned his life upside down.
Well, I think sometimes people are just afraid of what God will ask. I mean, is it going to cut into my TV time on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to cut into, you know, whatever type of thing that is happening in their life? You know, people don't want to be inconvenienced. I'll do it, Lord, if it's this way. And this may not be the way he wants you to do it. He wants
Absolutely.
You to go his way.
Exactly.
And sometimes people won't answer the call of what he's wanting them to do because they're afraid of what they'll have to give up.
Right.
But what they don't realize is you don't mind when you're really where you need to be with that, and then you get moving forward with what he wants you to do. You don't mind that time at all.
You love it.
Look at you. Love doing what you do.
I love doing what I do.
You spend a lot of time preparing for the sermons, preparing for teaching Wednesday nights, preparing for the radio show, and you don't begrudge a bit of it because you enjoy
that. No, I love it. I want to do it. I love it so much. Yes, there are times in the ministry that we all can think, wow, come on, why isn't somebody getting it? Or why are they not paying attention? Or whatever the case may be. But my job is not to make sure they pay attention, but my job is to give it as best as I can give it and then hope that God's working on their hearts.
Right.
You know, the Paul, let's go back to 2 Timothy, because at that point on the road to Damascus, Paul said, "Here am I, send me," okay, which is the song we started with today, "Here am I, send me." This is what God is saying through this book of 2 Timothy, trying to get us to realize Paul is trying to get his young protege, you know, Timothy, to realize how important the calling of God is on his life. And last week, if you did not catch last week's show, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch up. Because what we did was we took chapters 1, 2, and 3 in the book of 2 Timothy and pointed out the main points there and really dialogued on those points. Now we're ready for the last chapter. And the last chapter, which is really the last chapter that Paul ever wrote on this earth that we're aware of, to Timothy and to anybody at all, is really a very insightful chapter into the life and the dedication of Paul and how much he loved God and his calling and that God had given him. I mean, it's huge. Let's start with that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's see what he says, what Paul says here to Timothy. Alice, do you have it right there? You want to start in?
I've got it in the Message.
That's good. Let's read it in the Message. First few verses there.
He says, "I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder.
Mm-mm.
Christ himself is the judge with
right.
the final say on every one living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple."
Wow. Let's just stop right there a minute. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Proclaim it. Declare it. Proclaim the message with intensity. I think that there is a lack of that in so
much of the teaching of the word these days, that people are, it's almost like a watered down gospel, if you know what I'm saying. It's more about
feeling good.
It's more about creating or developing ourselves. You know, I mentioned that this morning. I've seen this for years, this trend. And you see it even here in the book of 2 Timothy, that Paul's saying people in the last days will be lovers of self, you know, and that it's all about me. It's all about me. And when we get that me-centered, you can be sure that God and our relationship with him is taking a back seat. You know what I'm saying? Serious stuff.
It is serious stuff. A lot of preachers fall, how would you say it? A lot of preachers fall into that cycle of giving the people what they think that they want to hear because they don't want it to step on, like we were talking other, what right. they're supposed to do. They don't want to step on people's toes.
Right.
Ties could slow down. Attendance could slow down. So basically some pastors give what they just figure that they want to hear, just as pastor used to say, tickle their ears.
It says it right here in 2 Timothy, tickle their ears.
Does it say tickle their
it
ears?
It does in chapter 3. That is common in the last days, that this is what a lot of times is preached, just things that are going to, just make you feel good, the feel-good mm-hmm. gospel. And yet there is so much more to the gospel than just making me feel good. It's like, in fact, we talked last week on the last verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all the gospel, the word of God, is inspired of God and is profitable to teach us, correct us, reprove us. The gospel should be correcting our attitudes and our motives so that we continue to stay lined up.
No, I agree completely with that. The main thing is the attitude. God looks.
Yes.
God, you know, the scripture says here that God is looking over your shoulder. That's the message.
I like
you
that.
Know, so God is keeping an eye on
yeah.
you, and it's not so much that he's looking, you know, at a TV screen and can mm-hmm. just see what you're doing every day. It's more than that. It's deeper than that.
Oh, amen.
He sees your heart. He
yes.
sees what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking.
Right.
He knows the motives for your actions.
That's it.
So, you know, if you're handing out $5 to the guy on the street because it makes you feel good,
mm-hmm.
is that God's, I guess what I'm trying to say, are you following God's will in that? Or are you, you know, what is your motive behind giving
right.
that person $5? Is it to make you feel good? Is it to help that person?
Right.
Or is it, you know, is it because that you feel that God has led you to that person to give them the money? What is your motive behind it? So
yeah.
I think God looks at that.
Oh,
and
I
God,
know he does.
God wants all of us to be willing and open to be directed by him. And
oh,
so
amen.
That all of our motives are so that we'll be following his will.
Exactly. A lot of times, sadly, in the ministry, people are motivated by perhaps money, because in some ministries there's a lot. I just scanned through the TV the other night. I have no idea who this person was. I never heard his name. He's teaching on how he planted $8,000 in the ministry, a royalty check that he got. Okay, I don't even know who this was. And he planted $8,000, and lo and behold, 2 months later, he had a brand new Rolls Royce. And I just turned it right on. Just went on right past it, because it was like, oh my gosh. That is like telling people, okay, you plant this much, you're going to get this. Even though mm-hmm. sowing and reaping, yes, that's spiritual. That is scriptural. But it's not about what we get. We give because we desire from our heart, mm-hmm. not looking for
return on your
a
investment.
Return like that to yeah. that extent. And he was making a big deal to the people. Here's what I planted. Here's what I got. And it just kind of like, whoa, made me sick. You know, just mm-hmm. that what's going on. And maybe in all fairness to him, I didn't hear the whole sermon. I'm just, because I just, that part just turned me off and I went right on. But so often God is definitely looking at our hearts, the attitude. You said it a minute ago, the motive, the attitude. That's what it's all about.
It's about our willingness, you
yeah.
know. It all comes down to, you know, are we willing to be the one that's sent? You
yes.
know? Are we willing to do what God's asking us to do?
Absolutely.
Are we willing to even listen or take the time to try to find out what it is God wants us
oh,
to do?
Amen. I quoted this morning 2 Chronicles 16:9. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite verses, Nan, who logs my favorite verses. This one really is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His.
Right.
That's what it's about, Alice. God is looking for hearts that are sold out to Him. Like Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, when God called him, he said, "Here am I, send me."
Mm-hmm.
Five words. Five means grace. Here am I, send me. Huge words. You want to comment on that, Nan?
I was using my fingers to count to make sure it was five.
I saw that you were.
Okay. Well, I agree with Alice. Is the attitude, just your willingness, simply your willingness.
Right.
And a lot of people, they're not willing, and they're missing out on many blessings that is available to them by being willing servants,
right.
Servants of the Lord.
Yeah, because it's too easy to get caught up in life. I mean, life pulls all its demands, and now in this age of multimedia, we have. You know, you can watch a baseball game on your little iPhone or your little, tablet or whatever. I mean, you don't even have to go to a TV. You can just carry your baseball game right there with you everywhere you go. So you've got multimedia calling for your attention, all the time.
Right.
And it is difficult at best to carve out time to be with God. That's my opinion.
I agree.
And she agrees.
Agree? Oh, yeah. No, I agree. It is. I was on medical leave October, November. Well, all of November, December last year. And God and I would take little trips, and He would teach me things. And it was such precious time I got to spend with Him.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that again. Of course, I work a job, and I'm not off for medical reasons. So, just that time, you have to carve out the time, and you have to be dedicated to that. I mean, you have to make it happen. It's not going to happen by itself.
Absolutely.
You have to schedule that time with God as if you were scheduling a meeting that you have to at work, or a meeting, your kid's softball game is at 7 o'clock at night. Well, you carve out the time to do that.
Sure.
You need to carve out an appointment. I actually, in my calendar sometimes, I actually write day with God or write down a time with God, because I'm a list person. I'm a calendar person.
Yes, you are.
And just to get that done, because like you say, we get so caught up with life issues that go on.
Right.
And it's we have to carve that out.
I have to agree. It's so difficult. I know even for me, especially lately, it seems like I've had a very hard time getting that one-on-one time with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, between work and social commitments and commitments with church,
mm-hmm.
and,
sure.
Relationship commitments and stuff like that. It's very difficult for me to find that time,
right.
that I know I need to be spending with God. And I feel, that I've been neglecting that area.
Right.
And I have to agree with Nan. For me personally, I know I just need to say, okay, from this time to this time, this is my meeting time with God. And,
right.
If I can carve out meeting times for, meetings at work or, for whatever other commitments I have going on, there's no reason why I can't carve out even half an hour or 15
Absolutely.
Minutes at a time
Something.
Here and there.
And, we don't do it because we think, oh, well, I've got to do this pressure, this job right here. I mean, this is more important. Or, oh, I got to make this phone call. I got to do this and I got to do that. And honestly, the older I get, the more I realize that if I allow that time to be precious to me, that time with God, and make it a priority, everything else the rest of the day just falls into place. And it's so amazing. I'll be going through the day thinking, wow, so-and-so called me and I didn't have to try to find their phone number. Just crazy things happen where my time is saved because I took the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Now, the Lord has me, and He's done this before on different things, but has led me not to watch any non-Christian programming TV. Only watch Christian programming TV. And He's done this before in kind of, 30-day period or 7-day period. They hadn't given me a time period.
So right now, that's all you're watching.
That's right now.
That's
all I've watched is Christian
TV. Wow, man.
But it was interesting. One thing, I said, you know, Lord, how long is this going to be? You know, but I'm still obediently, you know, not doing it. I mean, no one would know except God and I, because we're right there where I live, you know. But he spoke to me and he told me. Here some time ago, he dealt with me and said, tithe your time to me.
Right.
Give me one-tenth of your waking hours, and that equals to about an hour and a half each day. Tithe your time. And he said, when you have tithed your time, as I directed you to do previously, and you're not doing it, after you do that 7 days in a row, then you can start watching some TV. You know? So it's like we have this. I mean, it was just incredible how he...
That's interesting.
He showed me that, because that way it frees up my time to be able to do that, or else I'd be watching reruns of different things, or the programming that I like. There's nothing wrong with the programming I watch,
no.
You know, but just that I would come in after a long day and watch TV the rest of the night. Well, he doesn't want that. He wants my time spent with him.
Years ago, I was a trainer at Century 21 for 6 years in real estate. And different times, the agents, the new agents would say, okay, well, how did you get to the point where you are? You know, they would ask me these kinds of questions. And finally, I realized that I could go back to in time and pinpoint a time in my career where I, quote unquote, ramped it up. Okay? That I went from working, say, 6 or 8 hours a day to making a decision in a given period of time. I was going to work 10 hours a day. I was going to work a couple extra hours, but I was going to do quality things that were going to make a difference in my career. And when I started teaching that concept and some of the agents started applying that, their business changed too. And I will say that it's that whole thing of, what are you going to invest? Are you going to invest some of your free time, some of your downtime, some of whatever you want to call that, into the kingdom of God, like Paul did here? I mean, Paul did this constantly. Or are we just going to take that kind of lightly, like, oh, well, whatever? I mean, realtors are known for coming in and getting a cup of coffee, sitting, shooting the bull for a while, and then getting another cup of coffee, and then making a phone call to somebody, and then getting another cup of coffee. I mean, that is like typical office things that used to happen. Now things are a lot different in this day and age since the Great Recession. However, but back then it was more of a social, you know, fun time, and it wasn't like down to work, let's get it done. And I think spiritually, we've got to take this very seriously. This scripture, Paul says to Timothy, I want you to challenge your people, warn them, urge them, don't ever quit, keep it simple. Comment on all that.
I'm just thinking about my own, again, trying to apply all this to my own personal.
And the show's going
experience.
A different direction than we expected,
completely
right?
Completely different, yeah.
Oh, well. Just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be other people, you know, in the listening audience that are in similar situations with me.
Right.
Where when I come home, you know, there's other people there in the house.
Sure.
They're watching TV.
Sure.
They're going, whatever. So it's hard.
Yeah, it
to
is.
Carve
yes.
out that
yes,
specific time.
I agree.
And say, okay, you know, this is going to be my hour for God.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you go in and you close the door to the bedroom or whatever, and you try to spend that time. Meanwhile, you've got other demands.
Yes.
You know, especially single parents. I can just imagine, you know, because I was a single parent for a while, how difficult that will be, because, you know, you've got to feed. Not only are you coming home from a job that could be very stressful, but you're walking into now another job where you're having to take care of the kids and, you know, make sure homework's done and feed them and bathe them and make sure everything's ready for school and all that.
Oh, yeah. So been there, done that.
it can be very difficult to carve out that.
Yes, it can.
That specific time. So, you know, it may, for me personally, it may mean, you know, getting up an hour earlier in
the
morning.
And sometimes that's the way it is.
As I say that as I cringe inside.
I can see you cringing right there. You know, when I was a young mother of three kids born in 4 years, they were all very, very small. And this was a turning point in my life, like ramping it up in my real estate business. This was the big turning point in my life with God, because I realized my need for quiet time. But as a young mother with three little tiny kids running around, when are you going to get that? And so I remember the time that I decided, okay, when they go down for a nap, I'm turning off the soap operas. And I was addicted at that time. I could tell you what Barbara did to John, and this one did to that one, and who was married to that one, and who had been married to that one, but now was having an affair with that one. And I mean, I could tell you all of that stuff about everything on NBC. You know, one soap opera right after another. In fact, we'd laugh about it at parties. Some of my friends, oh, did you see what happened to so-and-so? You know, but God got a hold of me. I'm not kidding you. And this was serious stuff. And I had to go over and turn off that TV. That was before remote control. And I had to go over and turn off that TV and dedicate that nap time that those kids were sleeping. And even if it was 30 minutes or an hour, dedicate that time to reading the Word and spending time with God. It totally changed my life. It's probably one of those crossroads in my life that got me to where I am right this moment, because it was a conscious decision. Okay, I got to do something about my spiritual condition because I was a ship that was sinking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Woo.
You're
staring at me there, Nan.
Are you a crazy woman? No, I was listening very intently, Pastor.
It's the truth.
I know it's
happened.
The truth. You know what? Like Alice, I too was a single parent, and we split when he was two. And so that left a lot of years there, you know.
Yes.
And I would get up, you know, I would seem to be a much more better morning person back then than I am now for some reason. But I would get up, you know, 30 minutes early.
The kids made us get up.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay, the kids made, maybe I need to, oh, well, he's 21 now. But, you know, I would get up and spend that time before, because I found by the time I went through taking him to school.
Sure.
Working the job, the traveling I did just to take him to a certain private school, and then get back to the house and then eat, then make sure he's got his bath, and all of a sudden it's bedtime, and
we know,
and
you're exhausted,
and you don't feel that you can, you know, I mean, it's like leftover time. Now God gets time. If that's what you do, that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, you know, it was too late in the day, so I would get up 30 minutes early. It doesn't have to be. I mean, we're talking here, you know, hour and a half, whatever. It doesn't have to be long.
It doesn't have to be that long.
God will reward them.
Start with 10
or 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
You know, he will reward them.
I would encourage our listening audience, start somewhere. Start with 10 minutes alone with God and see how your life changes, because you're going to find you spend 10 and time slips by and you've spent 20. And, you know, it's like, wow, this is so cool.
Now you're running late for work,
you know. Wow. And let God speak to you. You know, Alice, a few months ago, I suggested that we just get a journal and we write down, my daughter, I say unto you, or yeah. My son, I say unto you, and let God speak to you. You've done some of that. I do it a lot.
Yeah.
And allow God to talk to you.
And it's amazing. You know, sometimes when I would start doing that, I'd feel a little foolish,
mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so I'm writing, my daughter, I say unto you, now what? You know, so I would write it out, and God would really...
It's by faith you're doing
it.
Yeah,
and it's amazing that God, the words that God had given
mm-hmm.
me that applied not necessarily to the situation I was in right that moment,
mm-hmm.
but the next day.
Right.
I know there was I can't remember the specifics around it, but I do know that there was one time in particular where I had written something out and I thought, oh, well, that's nice, you know, and put it aside. And then the next day I went back to it and it hit me that that was for what I was going through that day.
Absolutely. God wants to speak to us.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He wants to speak to us. Oh, we need more of Jesus. Listen to this song by Chris August, A Little More of Jesus, and then we're going to resume our conversation. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope.
It was just last Sunday, I was sitting in the pew. The preacher told some stories, yeah, he spoke about the truth. Something resonated, I heard a million times before. Somehow I needed to hear it once more. He said, I could use a little more Jesus and a little bit less of me. I could be a little more humble if we're speaking honestly. The more I see this heart inside of me, more that I believe, I could use a little more Jesus and a little bit less of me.
the homeless shelter, and I gave them food to eat. It made me feel so good inside, but it did not bring me peace. Turns out there's just one thing that I need. I could use a little more Jesus and a little bit less of me. Honestly, the more I see this heart inside of me, the more that I believe. I could use a little more Jesus and a little bit less of me. We've got rules and regulations, got a stance on everything. Whoa, we get so complicated when all we really need. A little bit less of me. I could be a little more humble if we're speaking honestly. The more I see this heart inside of me, the more that I believe that I could use a little more Jesus, a little bit less of me. I could use a little more Jesus and a little bit less of me.
Wow. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about.
And you know, I just give Connie a you know, a theme of where we're going, and this wasn't even where we were going, and she put this song in here, A Little More of Jesus. I've never heard that song. I think it's a fairly new one by Chris August. Amazing song, Alice. Yeah, it is just right on.
I mean, it follows exactly what we were talking about, because, you know, we find ourselves doing things a lot of times, and we don't really get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
Right.
And we think that, well, if I just do more of this, I'll feel better. But mm-hmm. that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where that sense of satisfaction and peace comes from.
Yeah.
You know, that peace comes from God.
Ah. And what God is saying to us here is we need more of Jesus. We do.
Yeah, we do.
I know I do. I know we each have those times in our life where we kind of have a wake-up call, you know? And Paul was saying to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, don't quit. Keep it simple. Teach the word. And look at verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, it says in the Message Bible, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. You know, that's the common trend. You know how people are. Everybody is into certain clothing. Everybody's into certain behavior. Now it's Facebook. Everything is Facebook. You know, and yeah, Facebook's a great tool for, especially for work and that kind of thing. But somebody was reading me some things that were posted on a Facebook page yesterday between two people who live together. Okay. And I was listening to this dialogue between two people who live together writing on Facebook. And I said to the person reading it to me, this is ridiculous. Whatever happened to going to the person, looking them in the eye and saying this instead of make your point?
I think I may
on Facebook.
I think I may have read that too. Maybe. I'm not sure. I saw something similar to that.
I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You go and sit down.
I mean, nothing against Facebook, guys. I'm on it. I love it. But still.
Well, a lot of times, you know, you go and you sit down at a table to eat, and maybe there's five people, and three of them will pull out their phones real quick.
Absolutely,
texting,
that drives me crazy.
You know, or looking at whatever. I don't know what they're doing. But
sometimes,
you know.
I accidentally. Well, when my mother was dying, I took my phone everywhere I went.
Right.
But I try to not take it into a restaurant. But it because I see the same thing. You go into even fancy restaurants, and people are sitting there on their phone. what is going on with this world, Alice. I mean, come on. Let's get back to basics. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy.
Well, the technology is supposed to be helping us and making our life simpler and all that, but I think in some aspects it's making life more difficult, because especially in relationship issues, mm-hmm. or relationship scenarios, because people are not having that what they call FaceTime now, mm-hmm. you know, where they're actually sitting one-on-one, face-to-face, having a conversation. Everything's through text messages, or a lot through text messages, sometimes phone calls, you know, tweets, or you know, Facebook posts, whatever it is. The social media, and you know, for me, I think social media is great in that, you know, you can keep up with old time friends that you haven't seen for years.
It definitely has its benefits. I'm not against it.
But when it comes to the personal relationships that you're in, those need to be face to face. Those type of things need to happen one on one, because there's so much that can be conveyed in a face to face conversation that cannot be conveyed through social media.
Just a look on your face.
Look on the face.
Body language.
Hand gestures.
Yes.
You know, you can say something and say it deadpan and have a smile on your face.
Right.
And it means it completely different than if you can't see that smile.
Right.
You know, so people, feelings can get hurt.
Absolutely.
So, you know, to me, the social interaction is so important. And then on that same line, you know, when we're trying to build a relationship with God, we have to have that one-on-one time, that face-to-face
praise
time.
God.
That time where you're, you know, you're worshiping God and you're spending time in His Word. And that's the face-to-face time with God that you need
to build
that relationship.
I really don't think He's got a Facebook page.
No.
I think God really wants open, honest communication. Remember 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro round the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His.
Right.
That's what He's looking for. He's not looking to see how many friends you have on Facebook.
Right.
You know, nothing against Facebook.
Nothing against
Facebook. More time. But anyway.
Well, I mean, Facebook.
Oh, there you go. You're saying it again.
One of the social medias we use. I am on Facebook, too. But, you know, people call each other friends on Facebook.
Right.
And I look at some of the people that I am a friend with on Facebook. They'll have 500 and 600 friends on there. I mean, it's just become this thing of, if you know Jane, and you can go down Jane's list and get Sally and try to get friends with all these people.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, I know that they don't know all those 500 or 600 people. And it's like, it's just a thing to, you know, of course, the more you get on there, the more stuff that you get.
Right.
You know, and you have to sift through all that to get to the meat of what you're really wanting.
Right.
I looked at my Facebook and there's this lady there and I'm like going, where did she come from?
Who must have been
on an off moment and accepted her as a friend. I have no idea where from or who she is. She seems kind of interesting, so I haven't befriended, you know, unfriended her, you know? But, I mean, that, you know, it's just, you know, they're getting, I mean, even back to the telephones. I was out with a friend of mine one time, and we were at a pretty nice restaurant. And she looked over and she said, if I was that girl, I'd walk away. The guy was over there just texting away to somebody. And it looked like they probably were on a nice little date together. And he's giving someone else time on his phone and ignoring her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done that, you know, with
you've
work.
Ignored somebody?
No, I didn't. Not intentionally, but yeah, probably. But I've repented of it, however.
Okay.
Yes, that's one thing that I'm working on. And, you know, because that person that you're having dinner with does need your full attention. It's the same as with God. He needs our full attention. When we sit down and say, God, hey, I want to talk to you. You know, I love you. I praise you. You know, whatever. Oh, God, I just need to spend time with you. He doesn't expect us to pick up the phone and answer a phone call, you know.
Right, exactly. There comes a time where you have to turn off the phone.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to turn off the computer. You've got to turn off the TV. You've got to turn off all of the outside noises and just spend that time with God.
He wants us to be committed. He wants us to want to talk to Him, you know?
Exactly.
And
it's got to be a priority.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have, and maybe you guys have seen this too, I've seen it in restaurants so many times through the years where a couple is sitting there and you watch them and they never say one word to each other except what they're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's silence the rest of the meal. They're just sitting there and they're eating. And I'm thinking, Cedric, seriously, he's laughing at me, but it's a truth. Maybe you're too young to have ever seen that.
He's
you,
been
oh,
there.
You've done it. It's repentance time on the radio today. Okay. And what happens, guys, is that to me, it's so sad to watch that a couple, a relationship, whether it's friends or a love interest or whatever, can get to that point where we're not really talking to each other.
Right.
You know, it's just sad. So, I mean, Paul is saying to Timothy, take your spirituality seriously. That's what Paul's saying. This is the last chapter, we think, that Paul ever wrote. And so if it's the last chapter he ever wrote, there's some huge important stuff in here, you know. And so he's saying, proclaim the message with intensity. That's back in verse 2, I believe. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. And then he goes into verse 3 that we read a few minutes ago. You're going to find that there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching. They just want spiritual junk food. They just want to talk, you know, but they don't want to really get serious about their spiritual life and commitment. And this is what God is saying today on Living the Good Life. We're not sure why, but this is the way. Yeah, we are sure why, because God's directing it. But this is serious business, Alice. I just feel in my heart there's some people listening right now or will in the future who need to hear what we're talking about right now and take it seriously.
Yeah, and it is serious because, this is your relationship with God should be the most important relationship in
Amen.
Your life.
Amen.
Yes, you know, you've got family and you've got friends and you've got, you know, work relationships and stuff like that. And, you know, not to knock any of those, especially family relationships, those are so important. But the relationship that you personally have with God should be the number one
Amen.
Most important relationship. And if you're not carving out time to spend with God, how can that relationship grow?
Because you don't get to know him. You know,
right.
You get to know somebody. You and I just had lunch together, right? Mm-hmm. And Nan. And we're sitting there and we're talking and kidding each other and having a good time. But part of that conversation between the nursing home and our radio show was pretty serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were some serious things we talked about. Fun things, serious things. I feel like I'm closer to you right this moment than I was before that lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I talked.
Right. Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Don't you think that's what God is wanting from us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, he's sitting there saying, you know, hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to talk to me? What's the deal? And it's like, you know, it's like having God's your best friend.
Right.
He's the best friend.
He should be. I don't think he is for most people. That's just my opinion.
I'm
just throwing out my opinion.
From God's point of view, he's your best friend.
Absolutely.
He's the best friend you're ever going to have.
Right.
And you know how everybody has that one friend somewhere that you could maybe not talk to them for a year.
I've got several of those,
and
yeah.
Then and then for whatever reason, you know, you run into them or you talk to them and you pick up right where you left off.
Or they email you after 20 years. Happened to me last year with my good friend Betty up in Indiana, who may be listening right now and is hopefully coming down here soon. And Betty was an integral part of the ministry in Indiana. We lost touch with time, you know.
And that happens.
And out of the clear blue, I got an email from her about a year and a half ago. Are you the Marcia McAllister that pastored this? Yeah, that's me. And oh my gosh, I'm so great to hear from you. And we just like picked up right where we left off. That's exactly what we're saying.
And that's the thing with God is that he's there.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you to start a conversation with him, pray, whether it's a prayer or, you know, I just like to have a conversation with God. I don't like to, you know, sit down and, you know, do the whole fancy
prayer
thing. I like to have a conversation.
The these and thous.
Yeah.
Nan's King James version.
Yeah, I don't speak King James.
Nan does. She speaks King James.
King James.
I don't speak King James when I'm talking to God.
I speak Message Bible.
I speaketh. I saith. Thou, Alice, art wonderfuleth.
See? She speaks King James. Alice and I, we speak Message Bible.
Yeah, and that's how I talk to God. You know, I tell him, you know, this is what's going on. And
right.
That's the stuff he
yes.
wants to hear. He
yes.
knows what's
yes.
going on,
right.
but he wants to hear it from you because that's how the relationship grows.
Exactly.
That's how you can grow a relationship.
It brought to memory, I here about a week or week and a half ago, I lay down and I said, okay, God, you know, here I am. I love you. I want to hear from you. And he clearly spoke to me. He said, I've been waiting for you. It's about Whoa. Time. I've been here the whole time. I was waiting for you. And you now have just decided at the end of your day, you're laying down to go to sleep, that you want to talk to me. Which is, I mean, that's okay. But, I mean, he kind of like corrected me to, right. and pointed out to me.
You didn't have time earlier.
I didn't have time for him earlier.
I think we can all take that correction. Because I think it is so common in each of our days to get so caught up in all the busyness, like we've been talking about.
Yeah. There's a song, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was out in the, oh gosh, giving my age away, probably the late 80s, the song came out, and it's talking about this person that's had a relationship with God, and somehow it's fizzled.
Okay.
And they turn back. And the song goes that he was there all along, just yes. like a song,
yes.
somewhere in the back of my mind.
Ooh.
You know, there all along, leading me on. Now my eyes can see him standing there.
Woo!
And it's like, you know, we forget that God's there. He's here
right there.
All the time.
Yes.
We just have to make the effort and take the time to spend some time with him.
Wow. Absolutely. We are getting back to this discussion, and we got a great song coming up, so don't go anywhere. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are located in Clearwater, Florida. We are worldwide in that this show goes on the internet as we have it live. We are always live in the studio. It's around the globe. Our wonderful engineer, Cedric, makes sure that we have the podcast or whatever of this right after the show goes on our website, stays there indefinitely, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can tell people about it. And our goal is to help you grow spiritually. That's why we do this show. We invest in the growth of our listeners. That's what we're all about. And in turn, we get blessed too, you know?
Very much so.
You know, you can become a financial partner with us at Beacon of Hope. We don't say a lot about money. We don't ever get on here and beg and cry and plead and tell you that the payment on my Rolls Royce is due or anything like that, which is, I don't have one, of course.
It is paid for.
I have a Ford, F-O-R-D. And anyway, but, you know, we're not like that. Alice, you're our treasurer, but we do have needs for ministry bills right now
right.
for the radio. We really do for the ministry. We've been on 6 years. We're in our sixth year. We do have some definite financial needs for the radio ministry right now. And so we would encourage you, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go to PayPal and give an offering that will go directly to fund these shows. That's what we're all about. It's exciting. Opportunity. You have an opportunity to plant seed into the kingdom of God to get the word of God out. Kenneth Copeland, I heard a teaching on it many years ago, and he said, when you partner up with me, meaning him in the ministry, he said, you're going to get the reward that I'm getting for giving out that ministry, that teaching, because you're planting those finances. People, this is good soil. Plant your finances. Go to beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal. Plant a gift, an offering, a tithe. If this is your church, you need to be tithing. So do that. So we'll talk more about that at a later time, but we've got to have station ID right now.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
Woo! And welcome all those Little Rock people up there. I'm going to be in contact with some of you here soon. That's something I'm going to be doing more of. And Little Rock, that station goes into 7 states, which is really cool, Cedric. The Memphis, Tennessee area, the Little Rock. There's Oklahoma, help me, Missouri, Texas, part of Texas now.
Yes.
We're live in all that area right now.
And something that I don't know if some of the other show hosts know, like maybe I shouldn't even mention this, but not all of the Tan Talk programming is carried in Little Rock.
Because right.
sometimes they have local programming that interrupts it.
Right.
But during Sundays, we're wide open.
Yes.
During all the gospel stuff that airs earlier and your show and the stuff
yes.
later. So Sunday, it's wide open.
Wide open. And we're on live.
Yes.
And I've heard emails now from some Little Rock people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting, you know, that we're getting some response. So if you're in that area, we want to hear from you. You can talk to me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries. It ends in IES.com. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Alice, tell them about the prayer ministry real quick, will you?
prayer ministry. Send us an email if you have prayer requests. Send it to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Somebody from our prayer team will take that prayer request and we'll add a prayer to it and forward it on to our prayers. And also, if you would like to be one of our prayers on the prayer team, please drop us a line at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and let us know you want to join the prayer team, and we'll get you on the list to receive those prayers. Mm. That way we can all be praying in agreement for everything.
And we have requests that come almost daily.
Yes.
And sometimes multiple requests per day from places around the United States and even other countries. If you have a prayer request, you don't have to be a part of Beacon of Hope to use our prayer line. Our prayer line is to get results, and we get results.
We do.
Because God answers prayer, and he's in the miracle-working business, isn't he not, Nan?
He is.
He is. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're excited about what we're teaching today. And this show is just amazing, and I'm having a wonderful time today, as always. Paul was getting ready to die in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's getting ready to leave this earth. And we're going to talk more about his final chapter here in just a little while. But there is a song that has been on my heart for a week, and it's a very old song by somebody who came from the same area of Indiana as me, well, down the road a piece, but not far, Sandy Patty, We Shall Behold Him.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud.
Wow.
I'll second that.
We shall behold him in all of his glory, and
beautiful
he's going
song.
To come down through the clouds, and he's going to, the dead in Christ will rise first, and all that remain will be caught up together with him in the air to forever be with the Lord.
Wow.
And that's what it's all about.
It is.
Our spiritual lives are so important, Alice, and we need to take them more seriously. It is not just about how many Facebook friends we have, not to go back to that, but it's not just about our daily mundane lives or even our jobs, although we should do our jobs to the best of our ability.
Right.
We definitely should. But it is more than that. We need to realize that life is short. Time is short. You know, I think I mentioned this last week that at my mother's funeral, we saw the video of her life, you know, that my sister and brother-in-law did. And as I sat there, I watched it for 10 minutes and I thought, wow, look at this. The high points were just condensed into 10 minutes. But how quickly her life passed by. How quickly ours passed by.
Right.
I've picked up something from Connie. Who says and will say,
what a wise woman.
Connie is a very wise
very
woman.
Wise woman.
I've learned a lot from Connie
yes.
over the past
yes,
5 years.
Have. Yes, you have.
One of the things she says is, what my real life here is what I do for the Lord.
Right.
And she's very good at what she does with her job, taking care of those infants, and she's very thorough and does what she needs to do. We need to be, you know, mindful, as you just said, of that, but that's not the real reason Connie's here. Just as that's not the real reason why any of us is here is for that job. We're here for God, and what counts is what we do for him. We can do for him actually on the job because you're letting your light shine. So that's, you know, that's the good thing, but at the end of the day, it's what have you done for God, not did you complete your work.
This little light of mine.
We sang that today in there.
I'm going to let it shine.
Shine.
We did that today at the nursing home,
didn't we, Alice?
And I found actually a lady sitting there in a wheelchair that had a worse finger than I have. And I have a very bad right index finger crippled up with something. And I don't want to give it any, you know, glory there.
Yeah.
But this dear lady was sitting there with one worse than mine because we were holding up our fingers. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know? And that's what you just said, Nan. We've got to let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Those are the words of Jesus.
You know, the responsibility comes with that. Like, my boss, my principal looked at me one day, and we were talking about whatever, and he looked at me and goes, you are a religious woman. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. And it was in the context of why he said that. But I don't want to say the disadvantage, but the responsibility you have then of living that life.
This is
those
true.
Those people
yes.
know that I claim Christianity.
Yes.
I have a picture of an open Bible with a notepad on the wall in my office, and I have it there for a reason, so people will see that.
Right.
So in the midst of the craziness, the hecticness of whatever's happening, I've got to behave in such a way as is complimentary so that they, to God, because he's the one I stand for.
Amen. So this little light of mine.
I'm not going to let Satan blow it out.
That's right. Don't let Satan blow it out. Woo. Because we are here for such a short time, Alice, and one of these days we shall behold him. I love that song. That's an old, old song Sandy Patty did, but it's a great song.
That's going to be such an awesome time because I picture myself running up into his arms.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to be in that place where I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
To have that relationship with him, with God.
Yeah.
To have that relationship where it's not going to feel uncomfortable to do that.
Right.
It's going to be, oh, yeah, you're like a long-lost friend.
Right.
You know? I want to be that comfortable with him.
Yes.
And to have had those conversations that I know I'm okay with him and he's okay with me and we're all good.
Right.
You know, so we can have that hug, you
right.
know?
Right.
When you haven't developed a relationship, with somebody, you can't. It sometimes it feels a little awkward, and you do that little sideways shoulder hug thing,
right?
You know, and you know,
right? You don't have that
right,
bond.
You don't have that bond. But when it's your good friend that you've that they know everything and more than you probably want them to know,
right,
about you, and you know about them, and you're in that place where you know you can just, you know, give a good,
yes,
hug, and it's all good, you know. That's how I want
that
my
intimacy
relationship with God. Right.
You know, I love to marry and bury. You know, you've heard me say that.
we've heard that.
Marry and bury. And one of the first funerals I ever did in Indiana was many, many years ago. I was quite young and didn't even know the proper etiquette of how you walk in front of the casket and all the different things, and the funeral director taught me and whatever. But I remember this funeral because it was one of the first, if not the first, and I did not know the man that had died. He was a relative of family members that I knew, but they really didn't, he was kind of a distant relative, and they really didn't know him very well, you know? And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I would have known this man so I could say something about him or tell a funny story. And since then, most of the funerals I've done through the years have been people that I know, you know, and that I can talk about. Oh, we had this, we shared a laugh. We shared a you know, a cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee. We shared a Diet Coke.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm
now
saying?
Now you're talking.
There we go. I mean, and you're right, Alice. It is when you know that person and you have that bond, then there's that funny story. You know, God loves to tell jokes.
He's got a great sense of humor.
He does, and he teases us. And when you spend time talking to him, you find that he loves to tease you about things and talk to you. Go ahead.
If you ever feel that God doesn't have a sense of humor,
mm-hmm,
look at the platypus.
The platypus.
Yeah, the little thing with the duck bill and the
oh yeah,
yeah,
the little duck thing.
The it's not a, it's like a it's an animal with the duck bill. I don't know, but I mean, it got you laughing. See, God's,
yeah,
got a sense of humor,
right?
Is it the one, the Aflap duck?
No, I'm talking about, you know, the platypus. It looks like some kind of a mammal, but it's got a duck's bill type
it's a mammal
thing.
Oh, okay. Is it on Facebook?
I don't know.
Find it and send it to me, Alice.
I don't know.
We're going to have listeners going to be looking for the platypus. But you're saying it's a funny looking creature.
It's a funny looking creature.
But aren't we really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Some of us are more funny looking than others.
But back to this point. Oh, there it is. Look, he found the platypus.
Oh,
there
it
is. Oh, gosh.
Cute.
That
it's,
is funny.
It's furry and it's got
Thank
this webbed
Cedric.
Feet
Cedric is
and
so
a
wonderful.
Duck bill thing. And
that is funny looking.
See?
Yes.
Now tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor.
God does. Oh, that was your point. That God
yeah.
has a sense of humor.
Thanks, Cedric.
But, you know, really what we're talking about is becoming intimately involved with God and
right.
with other people to the point that we know them. There's funny stories. Don't you love to get around and talk about, you know, just family times where you're remembering something funny
Shared
that happened.
Experiences.
Shared. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Shared experiences. So if you only know somebody from a distance or a picture and you never really had any shared experiences, that'll preach right there. Shared experiences, because when we are that in love with God and that serious about our spiritual walk, we have memories.
Mm-hmm.
We have times where God met this need and God met that need and God did this and God did that. You said it earlier, Alice, an impossibility is needed in order to have a miracle.
Right.
We got a few of those going on right now
mm-hmm.
in some of our personal lives in the ministry. We've got some needs for some miracles. But you know what? If we're doing anything for God, we're always going to be on that cutting edge of needing some miracles.
And,
you know,
I think what's really cool is that we I know, you know, as a congregation, we have the faith that God's going to meet these needs.
Absolutely.
And that these miracles are going to happen because he's done it before.
Yes.
You know, he has a history with us. He has that shared experience.
Shared experience.
Where we have seen these miracles happen again and again and again. So we know he's going to take care of the situation, that
Absolutely.
He will make a way because he has before.
Absolutely. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's see what Paul says here in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says to Timothy, "You take over. I'm about to die. My life an offering on God's altar. This is the only race worth running." Wow, that's huge. "I've run hard right to the finish. And I've believed all the way." I love that. "I've run hard right to the finish, believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting God's applause. Depend on it. He's an honest judge. He'll do right, not only by me, but by everyone eager for his coming. And in the NIV, it says, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Huge right there. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I mentioned this, but it's a good example. I'm going to bring it up again. My dad was a runner in World War II. He was a runner in high school. Then he was a runner in World War II. That was before text messaging. And he would run messages between generals on the front lines in Germany. That's what my dad did. It's amazing he made it out of that alive, because he was running messages, pieces of paper in his shirt pockets. And then as time went on, he was a runner, and he ran and ran and ran all these miles, and decided at age 57 to run a marathon, and did, in Miami, and run into the Orange Bowl. And he ran so hard, it really made him ill, you know, that experience. He recovered. But it was a goal that he had. He wanted to say he ran a marathon, you know, and he did that at age 57, which is pretty admirable. And if he could do that physically, think about the goals that we need to be setting for ourselves spiritually and say, I'm going to run that race. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn scripture. I'm going to memorize the word. I'm going to get it down on the inside of me. Talk to me about that.
Oh, it's important.
I just threw my pen at you. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, you know, it's important for us to set goals.
Yes.
In anything that we do.
Yes.
But it's really important in our spiritual walk, in our relationship with God, to set goals for ourselves. They can be small goals. As long as you're making some progress towards them, that's what's
right.
important. I'm going to memorize one scripture this week.
Right. Yeah.
That's an admirable goal. Memorize
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Memorize
know?
It.
And
yeah.
then the next week, okay, I'm going to memorize another scripture.
Right.
And then you realize that's coming pretty easy. I can memorize a scripture a week. That's not a bad thing, right? So I'm going to memorize two scriptures this
week.
There
you go.
You know? And if that's your goal, to memorize scriptures, then set little goals and do that. Whatever the goal, whatever it is that you can do that can bring you in a closer relationship with God, set little goals to get to it. It's just like we were talking earlier about setting time aside for God.
Yes.
Start with 5 minutes. Start
right.
with 10 minutes. You
yes.
know, then let it grow to 15 and 20 minutes. And you'll find that as you do this, that you're spending more and more time with God and
right.
In your own personal praise and worship and reading his word and talking to him, the time will just kind of fly
It'll
by.
It'll just fly by.
Yeah.
Woo. These are interesting days we're in, Nan. I really believe that, and a lot of people do, that we're in the last days. Now, what that means, I don't know. People have been saying that all my life, okay? And they've been saying that for hundreds of years. So if it is within our lifetime that Jesus comes back, wow. But if it's not, that he's going to come back in our lifetime, we still have to keep him and heaven and where we're headed as a goal in our life, as the goal of our life, and that we want to stand before the throne of God and stand like Paul and hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Ooh, talk to me about that.
Well.
okay.
No, I was thinking, some people, and I mean, I have felt this way at times, they mess up.
Right.
They quit reading their Bible.
Right.
They quit praying. They quit going to church. They quit whatever it is. And, we have to say, oh, God, please forgive me, and just pick right and go right on, you know? And I think a trick of the enemy is to interfere with that, play with your mind a little bit.
Yeah, good
believe
point.
The lies, like
yes.
you had the teaching here
yeah.
last July, whenever it was, about don't buy the lie, and they'll maybe they don't want to come back because they think God's gonna beat them up. He doesn't
right.
beat them up.
No.
He just says, I love you. I've been waiting
you.
For you. You know, and
that's a good point.
Anyway,
the condemnation of the devil that would try to keep us from coming back to our first love, which is Jesus.
He's spoken to me like that, you know, at previous times in my... Yes, the devil, I'm sorry. you know, of, yeah, look what you've done. Look, you walked away. Look, you weren't faithful. You were this, you were that, you know. And it's like, yeah, that's right. I was. You know, but that's not the way we need to look at it. And I think there may be people listening who look at it that way. Yeah, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done since I walked away from God. They don't have to know. Just say, Father, forgive me and move forward. He's right Amen. There. Like we were talking earlier, he is right there.
Amen.
He is right there.
Go ahead, Alice.
One thing to keep in mind, I mean, you know, I hear what Nan's saying, and when you said, you know, people will say, oh, you know, you don't know what I've done. I've done this or I've done that. Think about this. When you think about Paul, who persecuted Christians.
Yes!
He killed
Christians. Stephen.
Yes. I mean, he went out of his way to seek out people to kill because they believed in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was forgiven.
Yes.
And he ended up being a great warrior for God.
Mm. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Right. So, really, is what you did worse than that?
Right.
God, if God can forgive Paul for what he did,
mm-hmm.
he can forgive anything.
We are going to talk about that after this next song, which is one of our favorites at Beacon of Hope. We do it all the time live. Days of Elijah by Twyla Paris.
All right.
There's no God like Jehovah.
one of our favorite songs at Beacon of Hope. We love it. We do it live. It's just a cool song. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds. Woo, here he is. He's coming. Jesus is coming back. He's Yay. Coming back. Okay, the point that you made right before we, what was it, Nan?
Oh, I was talking about Paul.
Yes.
And about how, gosh, I've lost it now. Oh, no, about how if God can forgive Paul, God can forgive yes. anybody, anything.
Restoration.
Restoration, yeah, because, I mean, you know, Paul was a pretty bad dude.
He was. And but, you know, interesting about Paul, there's a lot of things interesting about the life of Paul. One of them is that Paul didn't immediately start ministering when God called him. He went away into Arabia for like 14 years.
He did.
He took a 3-year and a 14. So he took like 17 years of getting alone with God, believe it or not, and right. really getting God down on the inside of him to the point that then he could just, it just oozed out of his pores, you know?
I think that he probably, and this is just my speculation, but, you know, Paul's human, so he probably had a lot of the same doubts that we do. And I'm sure there's many times that he would go to God and say, God, you know, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you forgive me for this? You know,
we know he did that because Romans 8:1 came from his pen. There is therefore now no condemnation for right. those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So in Romans 7 talks about his struggle with the flesh.
Right.
You know, and the things that were still giving him trouble.
Right. Right.
You know. And so the point is here, and we can let's go to right here in 2 Timothy 4 and bring up Mark, which I brought up this morning. Because in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 4, Paul is saying to Timothy, get here as fast as you can. And then he talks about certain ones that have been keys in the ministry. Demas, who was chasing fads, went off to Thessalonica and left me here. This is somebody who was ministering to Paul and part of the ministry
right.
team, who just went off to someplace else. Okay? Crescens is in Galatia. We don't know what happened to him. Titus went to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one here with me. And then he says something so interesting. Bring Mark with you. He'll be my right-hand man since I'm sending Tychicus to Ephesus. And then bring my winter coat and other stuff that I left behind. Which is so interesting because what do we know about Mark, Alice? I mean, this is John Mark, the one who was a part of the ministry with Paul at some point earlier.
He fell away.
He fell away.
You don't hear much about him because
right.
he didn't. He wasn't with the rest of the crew that went on and was, you know, evangelizing and all that. He kind of fell away from the ministry.
In the book of Acts, it says that he got upset or whatever and just mm-hmm. decided it was too much for him to be in the ministry.
Right.
And that happens. People do that. Nan, you've been in the ministry for years. You and I both have. Alice, you have too. I've seen people come and go. People get excited about the word. They get excited about the ministry. Yes, 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 they're gung-ho. And then the first little wind comes along, and they're just gone out the door.
Yes, and sometimes the problem with that is you have people who assume leadership positions in the church. And so there's a certain amount of people who maybe come because of that particular leader being up there, that particular praise worship leader. Or I know one. What stands out to me is we had a fantastic bass player who played the bass for our group at our church. And, you know, and with those
this
people.
This is years ago.
Years ago. Way back when I was married years ago. And when they fall away, many fall away with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like just losing, you know, one person. You're losing sometimes groups of people who, for whatever reason, fall aside with them too, you know?
And a lot of times it's because they were there because they liked that person, wanted to be
right.
around that person, or they were, you know, and not there for the right reason, perhaps. But that does happen in the ministry, does it not?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Go ahead.
You know, I've seen a lot since being in the ministry, and a lot of times people get their feelings hurt, misunderstandings mm-hmm. come mm-hmm. up, whatever, and it's really important that we again build relationships and be able to discuss things with each other.
Absolutely.
Instead of, you know, getting our feelings hurt and walking away.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's so many times that, you know, people are a part of a ministry, and then something happens, and then they think it's just too much. They don't want to deal with it,
right.
Whatever. Rather than sticking it through and, you know, seeing how God's going to solve the problem.
Exactly.
And giving God the opportunity to solve the problem.
Amen.
A lot of times people just walk away.
That's words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. We talked last week on the show from Matthew 5 and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we are promised persecutions. We're promised difficult times in the ministry.
Right.
It's a promise, and God keeps his promise. But it's not that he's doing it, but people, circumstances, the devil in there being the accuser of the brethren and stirring somebody up in a gossip here and a gossip there, and then it gets out of hand and becomes like a wildfire,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
And then people get hurt and people get mad and they, you know, misunderstandings. You said it, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I wish that people would just kind of stick around and watch God fix it.
Exactly.
Because he will.
He will.
He will. And, you know, it's times like that where instead of looking at it as a difficult situation that's uncomfortable to be around, look at it as an opportunity to see what God's going to do.
Absolutely. Because what it'll do is grow your faith.
Mm. It's one of those hide and watch moments.
Hide and watch. Because it'll grow your faith when you realize that God cares about those kinds of details in our lives too.
Right.
In the ministry. And what's interesting here about Mark is that Mark was a deserter. John Mark was a deserter. He left the ministry. He left traveling with Paul. And he went back. He went home. He said, this is too much. Okay? We don't know the space in time between when he deserted and when he was restored, but we do know this. He was restored to
right.
the ministry. And he chose to make it right. We don't know all that happened in between, but we do know that here in the final chapter that Paul is writing in his life before he goes to be with Jesus, he's already had the death sentence. He knows he's going to die. He says, bring Mark to me. He'll be my right-hand man. And, I mean, that's total restoration, Alice, when he goes from being a deserter to being Paul's right-hand man.
Yeah. I mean, to have somebody as your right-hand man, you have to have a lot of trust in them.
Total.
This to me shows that you know, the amount of forgiveness
yes.
that was in Paul's heart.
Yes.
You know? To have that, to be able to forgive somebody is to me, one of the ultimate imitations of Christ.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Christ forgives us all our transgressions,
right.
all the bad stuff that we've done. And so for us to be able to forgive someone else and to restore them to a place of trust
right.
and to a place of respect and you know, as your right hand man,
right.
that to me that's awesome.
It's
and it's a very difficult thing for us in our humanness to do.
Isn't it? Because we tend to accumulate offenses.
Right.
I was thinking today as I was getting ready for church this morning, I was reminded of a series I taught a couple years ago on Wednesday night. I don't think, maybe it's 3 years ago. I don't think either one of you were part of the ministry at that time. I think you were back in Houston when mm-hmm. I was teaching this series. Nan, I don't think it was when you were. What's it was called that? Offense, Take It or Leave It.
No.
And I did, and I think maybe we'll do a series on that again, because this is where people get so messed up in churches and ministries, taking offense.
Right.
And that little title God just gave me one day out of the clear blue, Offense. Take it or leave it. We can take offense or we can leave it and just say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be offended by this or that. I am going to talk it through. Like you suggested a minute ago, Alice, talking it through, pray it through, wait around and let God work it out. People are so quick in this day and age to jump from one church to another.
Right.
They're not pew jumpers, they're church hoppers, you know? And they go from one to another looking for the grass being greener on some other side of the fence. You
well,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed, I mean, on that same vein, is that, you know, every church has the same problems and issues. Every church that you go to has got that one or two people or more that are, you know, stirring up trouble.
Right.
You know, it's the same, and we talked about this earlier, the same problems arise in every church.
Yes.
It's like a cycle.
Sure it is.
And I found that if you don't like something at a certain church you go to, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go over here because this and this is happening, so you go over to this other church, if you stay long enough, you're going to find the same things happening there.
So it's human nature.
It's human nature. So what you need to do as a mature person is learn how to deal with whatever it is that's bothering you or upsetting you. You know, talk to the pastor about it. Talk to, you know, if somebody has offended you directly, go and talk to them.
That's biblical. That's biblical.
And if it's can't resolve
Matthew
it, then,
18.
If you can't resolve it, then, you know, bring the pastor into it.
Yes.
You know, and learn to resolve those things where you're at.
Exactly.
Because and that'll make the grass greener where you're at.
Exactly.
Rather than going searching somewhere else for that. Stay where God has planted you. I really believe that. That if you're called to be in a certain church for whatever reason, stay there. Because you know, until you right. know definitely that God has moved you on somewhere else.
I so agree with that. And I will tell you that in all my years of ministry, I've seen the devil take people out, especially the music ministry, over and over again through just stupid little things, you know, that just grow and blossom and get huge, you know, because they're allowed to grow and blossom instead of stopped, you know.
Right.
And so the bottom line of what we're saying, did you have something, Ann, you were writing?
Oh, I was going to let that be my finishing comments.
You want me to no, let's just wait till your finishing comments. No. I like what Paul says in the NIV there in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I have fought the good fight. And, you know, so often we want to just act like there's no fight to this Christian life.
Oh, but there is.
But there's a huge amount of fighting. You want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, you know, we're promised persecution and all that, just for saying, yes, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Right.
You know? So we know there's going to be some kind of strife, some kind of stuff involved there.
Sure.
But it's up to us to not let that define who we are or how we think.
Right.
So it's a battle. It's a battle for your mind.
Right.
And it's a battle for your soul.
Oh, such a battle. Such a battle. And in the original Greek, Paul says here, I've wrestled me a good wrestle. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in the original Greek. In other words, I really fought me a good fight, you know?
Right.
I really got into it, and I fought it, and I resisted the attacks of the devil, and I stood strong. Talk to me about that.
Oh, we can take much, for lack of a better word, delight when we know that we have fought a good fight.
Yes.
When we've wrestled a good wrestle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's just so many times that Satan comes against you, just keep on wrestling. You're going to win because God Amen. Is on your side. God is with you. He's the one who strengthens you. He's the one who guides you. He's the one who gives you what you need to fight the battle so that you come out on victorious side.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mentioned this morning that my kids and my grandkids growing up, I did this a lot, would get on the floor with them and wrestle, you know, and then they got stronger than me. And so I would be, I would be defeated. So then I had to resort to tickling. And, when my grandson Chase turned 6, I was with them at Christmas that year. And, we were sitting around playing with toys, and they'd already opened their presents and they were starting to play, and Chase was just sitting there. And I said, Chase, what's the matter? Let's play with something you just got for Christmas. You know, he's 6 years old. And he goes, no, Nan, I want something else. I said, what do you want, Chase? He goes, I want you to tickle me till I can't take it anymore. I said, sweetheart, here we go. And we rolled and tumbled, believe it or not, on that floor, carpeted, thank God, and rolled and tumbled until he couldn't take it anymore, until he was yelling and crying and whatever. But we had a good tickle match, you know. Mm-hmm. We had one of those, you know, and that's what he wanted more than playing with his toys. He wanted that attention and that, you know, get in there and let's have a good time and let's, you know, wrestle me a good wrestle, you know.
Right.
And just, that's what God is wanting of us, guys. He's wanting us to just give it all we have. Not just, oh, you know, just a little bit of fighting or just a little bit of resisting. The word says resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you got to do the resisting and then he's going to run. He's going to turn tail and run.
It's one of those promises.
Whoa, it's one of those promises. Let's listen to this song and then we're going to come back and talk about this. This is the group called Down Here. The song is Here I Am.
Sometimes your calling comes in dream. Sometimes it comes in the spirit's breeze. Yeah, you reach for the deepest hope in me and call out for the things of eternity. But I'm a man of dust and stains. You move in me so I can say, here I am, Lord, send me. All of my life I make an offering. Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is a part of your plan. Setbacks and failures and upset plans test my faith and leave me with empty hands. Are you not the closest when it's hardest to stand? I know that you will finish what you began. And these broken parts you redeem, become the song that I can sing. Here I am, Lord, send me. All of my life I make an offering. Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is a part of your plan. Here I am.
My life has an offering.
Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is part of your plan. So here I am.
Here I am.
Wow. I'm saying wow a lot, but isn't that true? Here I am, Lord, send me. Mm-hmm. Somehow my story is part of your plan.
Right. Yeah, and we've seen that just, you know, doing the radio show, how the things that we have gone through when we share our personal experiences, how it somehow falls into God's plan.
Right.
Yeah.
It's happened all day today. God's really ministering to somebody out there, and I think there's a whole lot more than one somebody. I really do. Some of you are hurting today, and we know that. Some of you are going through very difficult times, and God wants to remind you and reassure you of his great love for you. And he wants you to be willing to accept his work in your life as something that needs to be done. And he wants you to draw close to him. And the word says he will draw close to you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. These are actions that result from something you do. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Submit to God. I mean, these are things that God is calling us to do to get in such a sync. You know, when something is in sync, it's just all going together. I love to play golf. And when I hit the ball correctly, which is not very often. But when I do, there, do you play golf, Cedric? There is an amazing feeling when that golf ball connects at the what they call the sweet spot of the club head, and you feel it, I mean, all through you, that, whoa, that was exactly where it was supposed to be hit right then. And it just like, whoa, boom, you know, and usually it's a great shot, you know, because you connected exactly at the right place, the sweet spot, okay? Same way with baseball. It's same way with our spiritual lives. When we are connecting with the lover of our souls, the sweet Almighty God, the one who cares so much about us that he went to the cross and died for us, when we are connecting with him on that personal level and talking to him and listening to him, it's feeling right. Don't you think, Alice?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's something that's going on the inside of us.
It's, you know, I find that when I'm connecting with God like that, there's an immense sense of peace, regardless of what may be happening in my own personal world, work-related, family situations, whatever. There's this overwhelming sense of peace.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes that's just what you need to get you through.
Absolutely. And when that peace comes, you know, okay, I'm on target here. I'm right on. Do you have a comment on that, Nan?
No, y'all said it all.
She's deep in thought, or maybe took a nap. We're not really sure.
No, I was deep in thought.
So Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is laid up in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Crown of righteousness.
He kept the faith. When you said that again, I really felt I'm supposed to say, you know, there's people who have walked away from God.
Mm-hmm. And I've been feeling that during the show.
And he's just there. God is just wanting them to say, I'm here, Lord, forgive me. I want to move forward.
Yes.
So Paul's saying, I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. For those people who might have walked away, but they come back, they're still starting to pick up and have the faith and run their course. You know,
exactly.
It's not like God says, well, no, you're not doing this because you did this or you didn't do this, whatever the case may be. But it's like you just pick up and start going on. Those can be your exact words also. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. You know, and so it doesn't, you maybe had a little bumps in the road that you weren't traveling the path,
absolutely.
But we all, I believe, if we're honest, I believe we all have had times that in our lives, you know?
Absolutely.
But I just feel like I'm supposed to encourage somebody or people or whatever that they just need to get back in the saddle again and keep on going.
One thing I want to point out, and this is about, Nan, we were talking about fighting a good fight. This is a battle. It's not just one single fight. It's a battle. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but the ultimate battle is won.
It is.
So you're going to have setbacks.
Right.
You're going to have time because you're not perfect and you're human. You know, there's going to be times when you mess up.
Right.
And it's okay. God understands our humanness,
right,
which is what is so awesome.
So awesome.
And he will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
All you gotta do is ask. So if you mess up, confess it, ask for forgiveness, move on. Don't let that one incident hold
Amen.
You back from what could be, you know, a glorious, glorious time with God.
Absolutely. Repent and turn around and go in the right direction. I have fought the fight. On my dad's life video, when he passed away 4 years ago, this was his favorite scripture right here. And we used that at the very end of his life video, and it came down, these words of Paul, with a sunset behind it. I have fought the good fight. You know, I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so, guys, that's where we're headed. That crown of righteousness, right standing with God. You're going to wear a crown because you choose and have chosen to fight this good fight and not give up and not turn around and cower. And remember, we've been talking in 2 Timothy 1:7 is kind of the main scripture of this whole book. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so we move forward, Alice. We move forward with joy in our hearts, with expectation. What's going to come tomorrow? I'm going to get up tomorrow, and I'm going to say, God, I want to go through this day with you today. I want to just give it all I've got. And God, if you want me to meet a certain person, if you want me to speak a word of kindness, if you want me to smile, show me what I need to do.
Right. One thing I want to point out is that, Paul talks about the crown of righteousness, and this just came to me. If you think about it, who wears crowns? It's only members of the royal family.
Ooh, very good.
Nobody else wears a crown.
There you go, Alice.
So, what's really awesome is that we've been adopted into God's family.
Amen.
So when we see him, we get to wear a crown.
Yes.
That's just, outward proof that of who God has already said we are.
Right.
We are his children.
Amen. Woo. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
That's right.
Mm. So what were those final
closing comments?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Let's hear those. I want to hear some of those. Here.
Actually, I was actually just going to simply say the scripture, and I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what I was going to end with. But God gave me a poem about it.
And you just wrote it right now, right?
I just wrote it right then, yes.
Nan is a poet who doesn't know it.
Who doesn't know it. That's
right. Oh, she does know it.
Well, sometimes she knows it.
Right.
Yeah. I have fought a good fight. I did all I was supposed to do. Father, I was able to do such because I relied upon you. I have finished my course. I have crossed the line I was to cross. Sure, there were tough times, but I willingly paid what it cost. I have kept the faith. Thank you for helping me through. You helped me. You helped to increase my faith. God, you are so wonderful. I love you.
Ah, she is a poet and does know it.
Yes, she's a poet.
She is, and that was wonderful. Praise God.
Praise God.
It's all because we love him.
It's
all about falling in love with him. There's an old chorus we used to sing a lot. I keep falling in love with him.
I was thinking that same over and over again.
Were you really? Yeah, I was too. Yeah. I mean, because really that's what it is. It's getting to that point where we recognize that, if you're going to have a successful love relationship on this earth, you've got to keep renewing that and falling in love again and doing things to enhance that relationship. So much more our relationship with God that we have to really work at that and take time. That's what this show's been about. Talk to me about that, Alice, about taking time and recap what we've been trying to say today.
I think it all boils down to the first scripture we read in Isaiah.
Yeah, there you go.
Isaiah 6:8.
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord, send me.
Send me.
And it's about having that willing heart, willingness to spend time with God, willingness to build that relationship, willingness to do what he asks you to do. It all comes down to having a willing heart. So if you can have the right attitude,
yeah,
then all these things are going to fall into place. It's not going to be a struggle to find time to be with God. It's not going to be a struggle if you have that right attitude of
Absolutely.
Having a willing heart, of being willing to be used by God.
So it does come back to that. It comes back to 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord range to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his.
Right.
So let's be that vessel that says, God, I need you. God, I want you. God, I love you. Oh, my.
It's so simply a way of life when you're doing it the way you're supposed to be doing it.
Exactly. Let's pray for our audience. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these listeners, either listening live right now or in the future. Lord, we just lift every single one of them up to you. We don't know who they are or where they are, but you know. And so, Lord, we sense in our spirits, Nan and Alice and I today, that there are those listening that need to really set apart themselves for time with you in a new way where it becomes such a priority that they are willing to take that time, listen to your voice, and talk to you. Lord, let these listeners understand that and desire that. And Lord, when they take the time and we take the time, we know you will come and meet with us. You always do. So Lord, we thank you for this show. It's gone a different direction, but we're excited about it because we know you've been in it and we have felt your anointing. We pray blessing on each listener and we ask right now, Lord, that you complete the good work you began in each of us. And that is our promise. We want to say one day, Lord, I have wrestled me a good wrestle. Mm-hmm. I have fought me a good fight. And then you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is what we declare today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
If you're in the Tampa Bay area, join us on Sunday morning at 10 for a great, powerful service. 3700 Almerton in Clearwater. Easy to find. Look at our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. If you're in the area visiting, we'd love for you to visit with us. Wednesday night is Bible study. Can't say enough about a wonderful time that is. We start this week the book of James. Get your Bible. It's not far to Jesus. Bring your Bible Wednesday night at 7. Bring a notebook. Come and join us. You can even bring your dinner from work. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week live at this same time, Tampa time, 4 o'clock. On this wonderful radio station. It's not far to Jesus. His arms are open wide. We love you. God loves you. See you next week.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.